God bless our Spanish ministry. God bless Brother Del Toro. Somebody say, God bless Brother Del Toro. Amen. God bless you. Love everybody. Amen. Clap your hands unto the Lord. God bless you. May be seated. Amen. Glad to have everybody in the house of the Lord tonight. And I've been reading a book and getting inspired before church. Just started it. And Follow to Lead. And what an incredible, incredible book that I was reading. And it kind of got my attention because many people, and I may preach this Sunday, I don't know. People say 90% of what we know is what we've read or what we've heard. But it was a springboard, and it kind of got my attention because every time we focus all our churches on Sunday church, right? We always looking forward to Sunday. But we don't need to be a Sunday church. We need to be an everyday church. And the people that turned their world upside down weren't really just the apostles and the disciples. Bible says that when they began to get scattered abroad, it was the disciples that stayed. But it was the people that began to spread around, and they spread the gospel. So every one of us ought to be church outside these four walls. Church to your friends, church to your coworkers, church to schoolmates when you get ready to go back to school. Everybody we come in contact, we are to be the church. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Amen. Glad to have everybody here, and I've already said that, but I didn't mention Brother Zion. Good to have Brother Zion Parkey in the house today. Amen. He hugged me last night, and he had to kind of go all the way down, and I think he got on his knees to hug me, but that's all right. I love him, and I knew him when he was little, but now he's, amen, praise God. So he can carry me now. Be careful. Amen. A few Wednesday nights ago, I taught a lesson, and I tried to get it all done, and I think we got two pages out and got several pages. I won't go several pages tonight. But we talked about seven men and the two natures, and this is a study. Back in 1957, I believe. Is that the number, Sister Sarah? I can't see. 1957, by a man of God by the name of David Gray. And it's an incredible lesson, and it's seven men and the two natures. And this will give us the secret of victory over the devil and power with God. And when we talked about it, anybody remember the lesson? It was a couple weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. It was before vacation mode hit everybody. But we talked about the natures, and the first one we talked about was the natural man. And the natural man was because of, we were all born in the natural man. And all of us had the works of the flesh. We all had all of the traits of the natural man. Traits of the natural man, you look at it on the tree. Because I'm going to tell you, we talk about a lot, and people bear fruit. You bear fruit, what kind of person you are. You can't tell somebody you're an apple tree if on your tree you're producing oranges. You can't tell me you're a Christian if you're producing hatred and you're producing murder and you're, you know what I'm talking about? You're not a Christian because you're not bearing that fruit. And the natural man, that's the stuff that he produces. And you ought to thank Brother Adam. And Sister Eve, because they're the ones that made every one of us natural men. Bible said, by one man's sin, many were made what? Sinners. And so because of that, Romans 3:23 says it. Everybody could probably quote it. For all have sinned. All. I don't know what your definition of all means. But for me, it means all. Everybody, every one of you, look to your neighbor and say, you're all. You're all. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There was somebody that told me, they said, you know, I'm a good person. And I don't lie, I don't cheat, I don't steal. I don't take things that don't belong to me. and I help the elderly, and I give to everybody I possibly can. And those type of people, they just want you to pat them on the back. You're such a great guy. You know what I'm talking about? Even people that say, man, I got so much money. It's like, who cares? But this guy was just laying it out. And in reality, I was like, okay. And I listened. It's like 15, 20 minutes of everything that he did right. And at the end, Brother Adrian, he looked at me and says, well, now that you know a little bit about me, I don't have to be baptized, do I? That's what he said. And I said, well, man, you're a great guy. I said, you do a lot of great things, but you're still a natural man. You still have inside you the natural man tendencies. Thank God that you're able to push down some of the flesh and push down some of the cravings of the flesh, but you're still a natural man. And so I even went a step further, because in reality, people can refute your ideas. They can refute what you believe. They can even refute your opinion, right? The same way you could disagree with their opinion and their ideas and their ideology, you could disagree with that, but you can't disagree with the Word of God. And so I said, I'm glad you're a great guy. I'm glad you do all this stuff. Why don't you do it for me? No, I'm just kidding. I said, but why don't you and me take a little journey in the Bible? I'm not going to tell you, what I believe or you believe. Let's just read the Word of God. The greatest way to win, if you really want to go down a spiritual journey and you want to just help somebody and enlighten them, then turn your words off and turn heaven's words on. And just start reading the Word of God. So for 15, 20 minutes, I was plowing. We were just, and I was letting him read. Many times we'll just, thumb our Bibles and we'll read it. And why don't you let them read? I mean, find the scripture for them or let them get their phone, but then let them read it, because there's power in that spoken word, power when they pray. Let them speak that word. Let the natural man say, he that is baptized shall be saved, and he that's baptized not shall be damned. let him read except a man be born again of water and spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. Let him read that. And when they read that, the natural man, they're going to have two things that's going to happen. Okay. One thing they're going to say, you're nuts. I ain't going to do that. And they can walk away. And that's their prerogative. Every one of you, God has given you 100% right to make your own decision and your own choice and say, you know what? I believe it, or I ain't going to do that. It's my way and it's the highway. I'm out of here. Let mom and dad and grandma and grandpa, let them go down that road, but I'm not going there. That's what God said. He gives every one of you a choice in your eternal destination. Now, he doesn't give you a choice on what color hair you have. Well, you could change that. But for the most part, your life, you didn't get to change that. You didn't get to change your eyes. I mean, they've got those contacts that can change your eye colors. You didn't get to pick if you're going to be tall or short or just the incredible size of, 5'8". You didn't get to choose that. You didn't get to choose whether your hair would stay or your hair would, fall out or your hair would change colors. You didn't get to change some of that stuff, right? You didn't get to make that choice. But there is a choice that God gives you. That says, choose you this day whom you will serve. And so the natural man is going to say, I don't believe it. I don't agree with it. And they could walk away, or the light could come on and they could say, you know what? I see it. And then from the natural man, you know what can happen? Because of one man's sin, many were made sinners, but by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So the natural man, when the light, that's why the Bible says we walk through, we've come out this darkness and we walk into this marvelous light. Anybody ever just kind of woke up and everything's just dark and some knucklehead turns on the light and you're like, oh my goodness, right? That's what happens when the natural man comes in contact with God. Boom, the light goes on. He's like, what in the world? And you know what he can do? He can say, I'm going to change some stuff. I'm going to become a repented man. So the natural man, if he repents and he realizes, I've got to get baptized in Jesus' name. It's not because of what they believe and what they say. The word of God said it. The guy that got the keys, the kingdom, he quoted it, Acts 2:38. It was his words. And I'm going to follow that. And if I follow that, you know what happens? That tree that had all the flesh on there, the natural stuff, it gets to be cut off. Thank God for a do-over. If I were to ask any of you, how many's ever made a mistake? How many's ever done something that you wish you could go back and change? Yeah? And some, maybe it's been years. Some, it may have been 5 minutes before it's our church. But here's the great thing about it is every day, every single day, when that old flesh, because that flesh will, I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care how many times you've spoken tongues. You're still a target for the adversary to take out. You're still a target for the natural man to rise back up and say, I ain't got to listen to that. I ain't got to hear that. I've heard that all. You have that ability. But the repented man says, not anymore. I'm going to cut that stuff off. How do I cut it off? Paul said, I've got to die daily. And if this man, if I can repent, that's the greatest step anybody could ever make. Repentance is an incredible tool in your arsenal. It's not the easiest tool. How many times you've ever said, I'm sorry, and meant it? Is it tough to say when you realize you made a mistake and you say, I don't usually apologize, but I'm sorry. You're not sorry. How many's ever been pulled over by the police? How many's ever been just cruising down, AC's on, music's rolling, your head's bobbing, you're weaving in and out of traffic like Jeff Gordon, and all of a sudden, red lights, and you pull over, and he doesn't come to get your autograph and say, wow, what a great job you drove. I mean, you were just bobbing and weaving. Man, you made some great cuts, and you're in the front of the pack. I think he'll say, license and registration, please. And I think out of your mouth will say, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was going that fast. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You know what I'm saying? You're saying you're sorry. And there's been some. And my mother had a friend, and we just picked her up, and I didn't realize this, but she got pulled over one time. And I mean, she just let the tears out. And uncontrollable tears to the fact that she cried not only in front of the officer, but she cried 2 hours after that, just kept crying. And she was saying, I'm sorry. But in reality, she wasn't sorry. There's a lot of people, and Brother Manuel probably knows what I'm talking about, that they have what they call jailhouse religion, right? That they're sorry now because they want to get cleaned up and they want to make sure they get out on parole quick, that they don't have to serve all their time. They're going to do everything they can. They're going to manipulate the system. I'm only going to pray when pastor watches. I'm only going to worship when the music's on. I'm only going to, I'm only going to come to the altar and all that just to appease everybody else. I'm just going to do enough to get by so pastor don't call me in the office and we have to have a talk. I don't want that. Well, that's just, that's not repentance. That's just sorry. And what a sorry way to live. Because the sorriest way to live, and preachers say it all the time, and you've heard it all the time, one foot in and one foot out. You're straddling the fence of church and the world. You can't do that. Revelation said, I would that you'd be hot or cold. But because you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out. But I've got a 411 for you. I know we don't like lukewarm, but if you're cold, you ain't going either. You better be hot for the Lord. You know what I'm saying? The easiest way to live for God is hard. You just live the hardest way you can, and it becomes easy. But the hardest way is just trying to live it easy. You can't live this thing easy. And that's why we can't just have church on Sunday. We can't just, oh, hallelujah. Praise God in here, and out there you're the devil. Bishop has a softball tournament every year. Labor Day tournament, right? Sister Phil Potts, you say, oh, you don't remind me, right? But he's had like 22 teams one time, just that many teams. You start from 7, you go to like 11 or 12 midnight. But I remember one year, and one team in particular probably wasn't where they needed to be. And an umpire came up to me and said, hey, Pastor, I got a question for you. I was like, what's up? He said, all these other churches are cool, but is this a church team? And I said, I don't know. I don't know them. He goes, well, they're the church of Satan. You know what I'm saying? Because they were producing fruit that wasn't good fruit. So if you really say you're in love with God and you really say you're a Christian, you're not going to be just a sorry Christian, but you're going to be a repented man that says, you know what? I'm no longer going that way. There came a time in my life, and it was probably one of the hardest decisions I have ever made in my life. And that was when I decided to live for God. I had to cut off friends. Remember we had Pastor Tommy White here? Anybody remember that? Anybody remember what his sign was of his glory days living for the world? His prosthetic leg. God saved him, brought him back in church, but he always remembers the price he paid. That was my buddy. And I remember many years ago, before that even happened, that God spoke to me, and I was like, you know, we were getting ready to go out, me and Tom, and I said, Tom, I'm not going out anymore. And I cut him off, a friend that we were with each other just night and day. I mean, just we hung out. But if you really want to live for God, you got to cut some things out. You got to cut out friends. You got to cut out family. You even may even have to cut out your spouse. Well, I'm not going to go to church anymore because my spouse don't want to go. Well, I'm always late because, you know, he's watching SportsCenter. You should never allow anybody to drag you to hell. Because there's coming a day. And you're saying, Pastor, why are you talking like this? Because I'm telling you, we're living in the last days. And there's coming a day when we stand before God and God's going to open up the book of our life. Not just the Lamb's book of life. We know the Lamb's book of life is going to have your name, hopefully, you know. But he's also going to have the book of your life to record every deed that you've done. And he's going to look right there where you skipped church because you went to a ball game. You skip church because of a concert. You skip church for this and that and all these excuses. And the Lord says, why? You said, it was because my spouse. It's because my brother. And God said, I ain't talking about your brother right now. I ain't talking about you. I'm talking about you right now. That's why the word of God plainly states, you've got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Because if you could get it made up in your mind and you could get it planted deep down inside your soul, it's no longer mom's religion. It's no longer dad's religion. It's not pastor's religion, but it's your religion, because you made up your mind. I'm going to be a repented man. I'm going to cut the stuff off. Cut the works of the flesh out. Matthew 1:21 says this, and he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what a repented man gets. He gets the Lord saving them. Acts 17:30 says this, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to what? Repent. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness, in doing right by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. I'm going to tell you, the natural man is dead. A walking dead man. But the repented man says, ain't nobody got time for that. I ain't got time to walk around to and fro, like listening to the stuff I shouldn't listen to and being a part of things I should not. I'm gonna cut it off. I remember years ago, I had a lady in my office, and she's like, Pastor, every time I come to prayer, I feel an evil spirit. Why? I was like, you ready for it? You asked, honey. I said, there's spirits in alcohol, there's spirits in drugs, and there's spirits in relationships. And I said, you're in a relationship you should not be in. And your kids are calling the other one daddy. That ain't their daddy. She cried. And we prayed. And she was sorry. I'm telling you, there are times in a Holy Ghost service, you feel sorry. Okay, you get stirred. But you don't get changed. There was a stirring going on. But you know what I told her? I said, listen. I said, here's where hell is going to be bad. It's not the flames. It's not the pain. Therefore, though the pain will be real and it will be hot. I'm going to tell you today, walking outside is a big red flag that says, I don't want to go to hell. I don't like the heat. I put 39 solar panels on my house so I can feel cool. Get the AC down at 75 and not worry about it. But I'm going to tell you what's worse than the pain. It's the memory. I could have got right. I could have cut some things off. You say, well, Pastor, I like this and I don't want to give this up and I just enjoy. You're going to enjoy it for a season, but eventually you will give it up. But wouldn't it be wonderful to lay that down and walk into heaven saying, thank God, it was worth it all. I think the word even goes a step further. It'd be better for you to enter heaven missing an eye, missing a limb, than going to hell with everything intact. Lord, look on this man. I don't care what anybody else does. I don't care what anybody else says. God, I want to be saved. I'm praying tonight that you'll look in my heart, you'll look in my spirit, God, and you'll change this man. I'm tired of being the natural man. I'm tired of being the dead man. I want to be a repented man. If you could be a repentant, it's like going this direction and you just turn around and say, I'd like to go back there, but I'm going this way. It's the best decision you will ever make in your entire life. You'll never hear anybody laying on their deathbed saying, oh, I wish I would have partied longer. Oh, I wish I'd have stayed out longer. No, on their deathbed, they're saying, man, I wish I'd have been in church more. I wish I would have done more for the things of God. I wish I had my family with me. I wish we'd had more devotions than everybody doing their own thing. I'm telling you, when it really comes down to it, the only thing that matters is the kingdom of God. Doesn't it say somewhere, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall endure? And what's his word? He's saying, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, because there is coming a day. Bible says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then cometh the judgment. God have mercy on us all. Pastor, why are you talking like this? Because we're living in the last days. And I'm tired of that natural man trying to rise up. What this world needs is men and women that'll stand up, put their shoulders back, raise their head up and say, I'm a child of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. The greatest things my kids could ever do is to make up their mind and live for God. I want them to be as successful and do all this stuff. But I'm going to tell you, if Tristan just flips burgers for a living and he loves God, that's all I want. I don't want him, you know, making millions of dollars and being lost. I don't want rust and moth to corrupt something that God is going to bless you with. You say, well, Pastor, I've got family that need this, and I've got friends that need this. Well, then stop missing church. Stop being less faithful to the kingdom of God and be more faithful now. You'll never win your family and you'll never win your friends with your roller coaster religion. You've got to make up your mind, I'm going to be faithful in everything. Pastor, it's a Wednesday night. Calm down. Well, tell the devil to calm down. We got too many families out on attack. We got too many people that are being tossed to and fro with every sound of doctrine. We've got to get men and women with backbone that says, we're going to live for God. We're going to live right, dress right, act right. So I've got a world that needs this, and I'm the only Jesus they'll ever see. You say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. I go to work, and everybody's cussing, and everybody, well, change it. Change the environment. Well, how do I do it? Well, have you ever heard of prayer? That's what Daniel did. I didn't see anywhere else where anybody else was praying but one cat, Daniel. The only guy praying. And these guys didn't like it because they liked to party. They liked to. And so they told the king, there's a dude praying. Let's make a decree. If anybody prays or whatever, let's lock him up. And Daniel got word of it. And Daniel could have just prayed and whispered and thanked God for your miracles and your blessings. He could have done that. No, he opened up his windows and he began to pray with fervency. He wanted everybody to know, I don't care about the decree. I don't care about what they can do to my body. I don't care about them throwing me in a den of lions. I've got a God that's in control. And I guarantee you, he didn't start learning to pray in the lion's den. He started praying before there was a lion's den. We've got too many people that are praying when they get into the den. And when they get in the den, they don't know how to pray. If we can have a relationship with God, and we could say, God, I'm trusting in you. God, I want to get it for myself. God, I'm going to be a repentant man. God, I'm going to place this deep down inside my heart. I'm going to buy this truth and I'm not going to sell it. God, I want you to be pleased in me. When I stand before you one day, I want you to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. And when I hear those words, I'll run, I'll dance, I'll leap, I'll shout. I'll do it all because there is coming a day where God's going to call us home. Sister Sarah, I've only gone through like 3 pages. I got about 20 pages. We may stop here. But I'm going to tell you, I'll just go one step further. Because not only can you be a repented man, but you can be a born again man.
That's right.
Amen. You know what I'm saying? Thank God. Has anybody ever worked on an engine before? Brother Alex, if you can come and just kind of play that nice music. Anybody ever just, you know, worked on an engine and got just grimy and just gruff, you know? Many times I'll run in and I'll say, baby, I'm a mechanic, man. I got grease all over my nose and my arms. I've been watching YouTube clips. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm trying to save a dollar. It's what pastor does. Brooklyn was making fun of me because everything I buy, I try to get a good deal. And finally, I just called her bluff. I said, Brooklyn, you know why I do that? Because I ain't got a tree with money on it. I barely got enough to buy you whatever. She's like, oh, Dad, I love you. Whatever. She said, buy me a new computer. And you know what I said? I said, pray about it. Daddy ain't got it. She was laughing at the computer that I got her because there were kids that had better computers. And I just said, you know, baby, if you really want to pray about it, honest. And 2 weeks later, her car gets stolen. She's crying the blues. Guess what? Her computer was in there. Her Bible was in there. They demolished her car. She's crying. I said, trust in God. I really wasn't even thinking of a new computer. But when it was all said and done, I probably paid $700 for her computer. She got a $3,500 computer. Brand new. She got a nice car, nicer than mine. When you start praying, you start getting God in your life. Thank God for the repented man. And I talked about working, getting dirty. You know, you repent, God begins to just, you know, it's just like a run. You get baptized and it gets washed out. And it'd be a shame if that's all that happened. But now we can get his spirit dwelling on the inside. And we get born again. We get the power dwelling on the inside. And what has happened is that tree trunk that used to be the natural man, used to have all the works of the flesh there, right? Now we're grafted in because we put on his name and he's filled us with his spirit. And now we become a new creature in Christ. The natural man has now progressed from a repented man now to a born again man. You know why I clap my hands on Sunday? You know why I shout? You know why I run and dance and I make a big scene? Because there was a God that forgave me. There was a God that gave me a second chance. There was a God that breathed into me his spirit. That's why I love church. That's why I love him. Because he is the way out. He's the only way out. You can't buy your way out of this. You can't think your way out of this. Just because you got a great mom and a great dad, it doesn't mean anything. But the minute you say, God, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of playing games. God, I'm going to repent it. I'm going to break down this flesh. And God, I'm asking you to come into my life. My marriage is in trouble. My family's in trouble. My finances are in trouble. My whole life's in trouble. But God, right now, I'm submitting to your will. I'm submitting to your plan. I've got friends that need this. I've got family that need this. I've got classmates that need this. And God, I'm laying it down at the altar. And I'm praying, God, right now, that you'd make a way, that you'd graft me in, that your power and your Spirit and your blood would be on me. Oh, somebody stand to your feet. Somebody raise your hands. Somebody raise your voice to a God that will give you a second chance, a third chance, a God that can graft you in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, he can turn things around. He can change some things in your life. I know things and life has not been kind to you, but God can turn things around tonight. Even on a Wednesday night, God can turn it around. Why don't you step out from where you're at? Why don't we line this front with our hands raised, with our voices raised, and saying, God, I need you. God, I gotta have you. God, I'm laying it down at your feet. God, I need you to graft me in again. I need you to cleanse me. I need you to forgive me. Baptize me afresh. Baptize me anew. Come on, lift your voices. Let God do a work in your life. Oh, come on. It's early. Search me, God. Search me. Search my heart. Search the cracks and crevices. Cleanse me, God. Forgive me, God. Breathe into me your spirit. I can't make it through life without you. I can't go another step without you. But God, I need you. God, I gotta have you. God, I'm hungry for you. God, I'm thirsty for you. I can't do it without you. And I need you today. Come on. Lift up your voice. Come on, you're not here by accident. God knew you're gonna be here, and he's got a word for you. That word is, you're not alone. You don't have to face it all by yourself, but God is saying, I'm right here. I'm waiting for you to invite me in. Come on, let him take residence in your heart. Let him take residence in your home. Hallelujah. Reach over. Lay a hand on somebody. Pray for one another. Let's link up together. Come on. You don't have to face this alone. I'm with you. I believe in you. I believe in you. We could do this together. We could change together. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, yes, God. Come on. Come on. I feel the cleansing of the Lord. I feel his hand. I feel his favor. I want it, God. I want it, God. I want it, God. Come on. You got the power to turn it around. You got the power to cut it off. Hallelujah. By the power and the authority that's in the name. Yeah. Come on, you can turn your family upside down. You can change the spiritual climax in your home. Starts right here.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I trust in you. I believe in you. There's nobody like you. Yes. Yes, God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I love you. I want to change, God. I want to grow in you, God. I'll go. I'll go. I'll go, God. Yes. Hallelujah. I love you. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, God. Follow. Oh, I want to grow. This is a message you got to take with you. Don't let anybody sway you. Don't let anybody tell you it's not important. But you got the power to change. Response I get a lot is, Pastor, but they don't want it. They don't want to live for God. They don't, forget about them. Get you right. You right. And don't do it for them. Do it for you. Because if we can get you right, and God can take care of the rest. As I can't do it, you can't do it, but God can. And when you get that relationship, that's when you could throw up those prayers. God, touch my baby. God, touch my family. And God comes in, because it's all about relationship. One more time, all across the building, raise your hands and raise your voice. Let's just love the Lord. God, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. I give everything to you. Pray blessings on your children tonight. Let them be instruments that you can use. Let them reach their friends and their family. Let it not just be a Wednesday, Sunday religion, but God, let it be everyday religion. Let's turn our worlds upside down. In Jesus' name we give you praise. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Now find two or three people. Hug somebody. Love on them. Let them know you love them. In Jesus' name. God bless you.